to see this number out this evening. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Psalms again, and this time we'll turn to the 85th Psalm, Psalm 85. And I want to read with you one verse for the thought of our study. And Lord willing, this will be the thought of our study next week as well as we look at revival. Look, if you will, at Psalm 85 and verse 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? At this time, the people of God had been delivered and led out of Babylonian captivity, and they're making a prayer for God to help revive them. And that word revive means to renew or refresh or wake up. And here were a people at this particular time that recognized they needed a fresh start, that they needed a renewal, a revival. And I want you to think about, in four different places, they needed to be revived. And tonight I want to talk about the revival we need. And I'll tell you, my friend, it's not just in the days of old that you'll find that people need to be renewed or refreshed or reminded. But even in our day and time, you'll find that people need a revival. The first thing I want you to recognize is they understood that in that day and time, their land needed to be revived. Their nation needed to be revived. That at that particular time, their nation was living in the filth of sin. And I want you to think about that that nation had burned and had been taken into captivity, and now they're returning to, from Babylonian captivity, and they want to remember God. The problem with the nation before is they had forgotten God. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Isaiah and the first chapter, and you'll find that it's nothing new for a nation to forget God, for a nation to remove God from being where He needs to be. If you look in the book of Isaiah and the first chapter, look at verse 3. Isaiah the prophet of old said, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider." Notice that at this time he says an animal will know its master. He says an ox would know its owner. But my nation, my people, they do not know me. And I want us to think about tonight in our country, what we need is a revival amongst the nation. To have the people wake up to see who God is. And if you turn to the 9th Psalm, you remember in Psalm 9, in verse 7, it said, "The Lord shall endure forever. He's prepared His throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and He shall administer judgment for peoples in uprightness." I want you to think about that in our day, that God is going to be the judge. Have you ever thought that nations have come and gone because they did not keep God in His proper place? They've not put God first. You look at the nation of Rome, who at one time was built with mighty power and strength. And then that nation fell. And because they fell, you remember it's because they left God out. But have you ever thought that in our nation today, people do not respect God? That God's name is now just a byword? That people use it in vain? And I'll tell you, they do not respect the name of God. Then you think about prayer. How prayer can become just a formality. And I'll tell you that in our nation, what we need is a revival. Sometimes we look at the government and we see how corrupt government officials are. And we think, well, what good is it? They're living wrong. I'll tell you, revival doesn't start with the government. Revival starts with the citizens of a nation saying, we will not tolerate iniquity. That we will stand up against that which is ungodly. And let the people who are in power call us what they may. We stand up for what is right. Years and years ago in Rome, you want to know how they stopped having gladiator fights and feeding people to the lions? One man stood up. And to them, that was entertainment. And this one man stood up and said, I think this is wrong. They killed him. Then their guilt got them. And they realized what they were doing was wrong. Sometimes it takes one man to stand up and have conviction and backbone. But secondly, not only do we need revival in our land, we need revival in the home.
Just as our nation has departed from God's pattern, so has the home. You know, marriage has become a mockery. And you'll find that a lot of people who do not consider what God's seriousness is about the home life and about the marriage covenant. And many times we read Matthew 19:9 and we never stop to think about that God's permanent design is for one man, for one woman, for life. Now, does God give an exception? Yes, He does. He said if there's one who commits adultery, then the spouse is free to remarry. But I want you to understand, my friend, that the rule is one man for one woman for life. And then you think about that there is no respect for parents in our day and age. We need to get back to discipline children because we love children. A child that isn't disciplined needs to understand that it needs discipline because it's love. Now, I don't like being disciplined, but I understand that I was disciplined out of love. And many homes have parents who don't pray, and they're not showing enough love in the home. They're not showing the spouse enough love. They're not showing the children enough love. And the home life has decayed. And so tonight, when you look around Shevel, Tennessee, we can pray that our land be revived, and we need to pray that the home life be revived. But you know what that starts with? That starts with you taking it and doing what's right. You know, sometimes we wait on somebody else to take the first step, but if you want your home right, it takes you to lead the pack and do what you're told to do, whether it be to love your wife or to submit to your husband. Whatever the command is for you to do, you start by obeying God. But I'll tell you a third thing. We need a revival in the church. And that might be a shame to some, but it's true. In 2 Timothy, you'll remember that when Paul was writing, he said, preach the word in season and out of season. And I'll tell you sometimes, my friend, even in a local church, it can seem like it's out of season. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at what Paul said in verse 1 and 2. He said, the Spirit expressly says, in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, my friend, there are a lot of people tonight that they do not realize what the local church is to be doing. They have made up their own kind of thing instead of following what the Bible has revealed. And if a church wants to be revived, they have to get back to the Word. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians for just a moment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when Paul penned this letter to the churches at Thessalonica, notice what he said. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look beginning at verse 3. In verse 3, he said, let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, here he's warning about a great falling away. Some believe this is talking about Catholicism. But whatever it's talking about, one thing I know is that there are people who've departed from the faith. They've left the true church. And what we need to do is to make sure that if we are right, we get back to the Bible. And we go by God's authority. And that we follow not man, but we follow God. That we do not get caught up in an entertainment world and we make the church something it's not supposed to be, but we realize it's a spiritual body doing a spiritual work. If you take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, notice with me, if you will, what Paul said in verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I also will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Paul is saying your worship must be done in spirit and truth. That's what Jesus said in John 4:24. But then I want you to think about one last thing. Not only does our land need a revival, and not only does our homes need a revival, and not only does the local church need a revival, but I'll tell you, the life of a sinner needs to be changed. They need to be woke up from their sin. And they need to see that they have an opportunity to make their life right. Not just somebody who's out of Christ tonight, though that is true. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, you need to have a new beginning. And that comes by obedience to the Word of God. But there are some who've backslidden from God. They're further away from God than they need to be. And they're sliding further and further away. And what they need is a revival to wake up, to be refreshed and come back to God and have an understanding of who God is and how great God is and no longer be living in sin. You want to know what will cause a revival at Eastside? You know the revival we need is for people to stand up. Go back and look at what he said in Psalm 85 verse 4. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger toward all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Restore, revive, renew. That is what we need. It's for people to be excited about the truth, to be excited about the Word of God. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we do not see the joy of being a child of God. And you know what's sad? Is when you can no longer see the distinction between someone who claims to be a Christian and somebody who's in the world. What was it Paul said? We talked about in Bible study this morning. We're to be set apart. And I'll tell you, my friend, until the day we look out and we see that we're different than the world, that we're living for Christ, that we're disciples of Jesus, and we put forth a great effort and show conviction, we will not be what we need to be. But when we stand up and we have conviction, then we can start to restore the nation. How do you restore the nation? By starting in your community. By being who you need to be in your neighborhood. How do you restore the home? By being who you need to be and following God's pattern in the home. How do you restore a local church? By doing what you need to do and being who you need to be in the local church. And be refreshed and renewed. And when you come through the door, you're excited to be here to worship God. It doesn't act like a drudgery or a boredom, but it's something that we get to do. And we are restored by the salvation of God. We've seen His salvation and His mercy. And we're renewed and revived by His greatness. How do you revive the sinner? By looking in your own self. You know where revival is going to start? Right here. Or right there. Revive us. And look why. Look at the reason. That we may rejoice in Him. There's joy. There's joy in being a Christian. And I'll tell you something, my friend. Some people act like it's a kill joy. I'll tell you, it's a real joy to be a Christian. Because of the hope that we have. And the fact that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So tonight, the revival we need is the revival for our land, our home, our local church, and for the sinner. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray that your heart has been touched and you'd say, I want to be renewed, I want to be refreshed, I want to be restored or revived, and come forward as together we stand and sing.